Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
And this is Overtime.
Let's do it.
All right, it is 8:32. It is Monday, March the 1st. The sun is shining. Our forecast is beautiful. And check this out. We've got an all-ladies overtime today. Charlie Brennan is off, and in for Charlie Brennan, Carol Daniel. Good morning.
Good morning, Debbie Monterey. How are you? It's great to see you.
I'm in a great mood today. And hi, Amy Marks Kors. I know you're smiling.
I am smiling. It's beautiful. I get to chat with you guys. This is just the best.
People are going, oh, my God.
What a love
this is
fest.
Too much love for one time, one moment.
All right. Well, let's put a damper on the joy and talk about COVID vaccines.
Okay.
Well, the good news, I guess, is that Johnson & Johnson's vaccine was approved officially on Saturday. However, some think that with a 65% efficacy rate, some people will avoid it. Now, we're hearing some different numbers. Some are saying like it's 85% effective against blah, blah, blah. But overall, 65% efficacy. Doctors are saying if you have the chance to get that one, just take it. Carol, if you have the chance for that vaccine, is that one okay with you?
That is absolutely okay with me. I am getting my vaccine this week. And so I would absolutely take it. 65% doesn't bother me, because that 65% versus possible serious illness, being a long hauler, or dying. And so I'm going to take 65% over that.
Amy, does it make you slightly jealous whenever anybody you know says, I'm getting or I got the vaccine? I kind of go like, little pang of like, hey. Sorry.
Well, and now there are going to be levels of jealousy. It's like, you got the vaccine and you got the Pfizer vaccine. Oh, come on.
Well, let me tell you, too, that I've said to my husband, this is the one time where I'm excited to be an overweight woman. That's the deal.
Is that the deal?
Obesity, it gets you in. Obesity is, yeah. And so I am technically, clinically obese.
Well, that is not going to be on Amy Markscore's list, because she's not. She's a twig.
Well,
I mean that in a loving way.
We love you.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I was thinking of this because you look at the 65% efficacy rate versus 85 or 90 or 95, and you can look at it positively or negatively. And I think the way to look at it is it's boosting your ability to fight the virus or to not get infected or to prevent transmission of the virus. This is all positivity. It's not like you're stepping on a Southwest plane or, you know, any airplane and going, okay, Carol's pilot scored 95 on the test. Amy's pilot squeaked by with a 65. I don't think we have to look at it like that. That seems a little bit more negative. And it's like if you're going to see a doctor and you need help, it doesn't really matter what he got on his exams, right? When he became a doctor, if he passed, he's a doctor and you need help. And that's what this vaccine is. So I think, yes, poor Johnson & Johnson, they're just they probably feel a little bit left behind. But who knows? Maybe they'll catch up, like the dark horse.
Yeah, the good news is it's a one-shot vaccine.
Sure. It doesn't require sub-zero storage, and that's an excellent thing. Not having to go back twice is wonderful.
Yes. Here's the other thing, though. I got an email from BJC, because I had signed up on their site, and I got this email, and I was all excited, like, oh, I'm getting an email. And it was just an email to let me know that, like, at some point in the future, you're going to get an email. But in the meantime, we have 350,000 people waiting, like, oh, grief. But
that's like getting an email. Have you heard? There's a vaccine.
Thank you. That was helpful. It was like all the excitement and then a total letdown. And then I see the news over the weekend that Putnam County, which is northern Missouri, it's right on the Iowa border. They had a mass vaccination and they had so many leftover vaccines. Even after they got everyone who had made an appointment, they opened it up to people without an appointment. And then they opened it up to anyone over 18, period. You didn't have to have any,
right,
you know, any illnesses or comorbidities, nothing. Just anyone want a shot? And they still had tons left over. Right. So here we go again, the echo of Bollinger County the week before, where rural Missouri is getting tons of vaccines and no one apparently wants them, Amy.
Well, and I think the question will be then, too, if you are that person who is not technically eligible, but you got a leftover vaccine so that it didn't expire, is it difficult to get the second shot?
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the CDC, and certainly maybe Dr. Fauci has said, certainly maybe, don't you like that? Did you catch that? Has said that if, you know, whatever you can get, get it. And does that mean if you can just get one, get one? It provides you with more protection than having none. I don't know.
Yeah, and then do you have to drive all the way back up to Putnam County to get the,
sure,
the second?
Sure. And do you, if you got Pfizer, do you then go get Moderna if you can get it?
Yeah, is can,
which
you, can you mix and match?
Can you mix and match? And that's being studied, of course. But
well, Governor Parson continues to say there is no disparity, and but it does seem interesting, to say the very least. We do get calls in the newsroom from people who, you know, are over 65, over 70,
right, who want to know,
are so confused, and I'm like, we are too. We're doing the best we,
right,
can. This is a weird situation. Well, we have more topics on the way that are non-corona related.
Really?
So, yes, we do.
There's something else happening in the world.
There is.
But they're weird, right, Debbie? Up in New York, things are weird. We can say that.
Things are weird. All right. We will be back with traffic and weather. It is 8:38, and it's overtime with Carol, Amy, and Debbie.
Cardinals spring training is underway in Jupiter, Florida, and KMOX's Mike Claiborne is covering it all. Hear his daily reports, mornings and afternoons, and on Cardinals Open Line, sponsored in part by Norm's Bargain Bar and Wilkie Windows, on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
It's 8:42. You almost hate to talk over that music. Just let it go.
Let's jam on this Monday morning.
Carol Daniel, Amy Marks Kors, I'm Debbie Monterey. All right, Governor Andrew Cuomo is under fire. At first, he was saying this absolutely didn't happen last week, but yesterday he was trying to explain away allegations of sexual harassment as jokes that were misinterpreted as unwanted flirtation. And his office is agreeing to a state attorney general's request to appoint an investigator to probe the claims. There is apparently a second woman who's coming forward with some complaints. Is this the end of his political career, Amy, or are we post sexual harassment for politicians?
Well, I mean, it should have been the end of his career even before the sexual harassment allegations, with the lies and the cover-up of thousands of deaths from COVID by just a complete, not just mishandling, but then a dishonest cover-up. I mean, it was absolutely disgusting what State Attorney General Letitia James was able to uncover in her probe. Now we have these sexual harassment allegations, first from Lindsay Boylan, who said that the governor kissed her on the lips without her consent and said they should play strip poker. And now the second accuser, Charlotte Bennett, who's 25 years old. So the governor didn't physically touch her, but asked her personal questions about her sex life. And now Letitia James is going to be busy with yet another investigation. I thought Cuomo should have stepped down earlier. I think he should step down now.
I kind of agree with that, although I'm happy that he has said, although the pressure came, that he has said, let the investigation fly. But this is the anatomy of a crisis to me. This is the way, the wrong way, in some sense, to respond. Immediately, in handling a crisis, you should get ahead of the story. You should get ahead of it. You should be honest and you should be open. But we know that that's not always what politicians do. Governor Greitens is a prime example. All of this information is out there, And we are talking about it day in and day out. And in some cases, he's saying nothing. And in other cases, he's denying it. Deny, deny, deny until you have to. The pressure grows so much until you have to say something. Mm-hmm. And then what you say is a cover up. And it is always said the cover up is worse often than the actual crime. That you lied about it is worse than the actual crime. And you know, when I heard about the nursing home deaths, I thought, you are kidding me. Mm-hmm. You were the one that everybody was turning to. You were the calm voice when it was all happening, when COVID was unfolding, when the pandemic was fresh. You were this calming voice. And then we find out, why did you do that? Well, you didn't have to do that. There was no reason to do that. Now, I thought of this over the weekend, you guys. I wondered, is there a tipping point? You know, two women, you know, that it's two. You know, does it have to get to five? Does it have to get to 10? And then there is greater outrage. You know, he just kissed her on the lips. She didn't want him to, but he did it. Is that, that's not enough. But did he have to, like, grab her? Is that the tipping point? You know, we're still grappling with how we feel as a public, you know.
Well, how many women came forward against President Trump? 20 plus?
And everyone was okay with that.
Everyone was fine with that.
I shouldn't say everyone. That's not true.
A lot of people were fine with it.
Supporters were okay with that and said, they're all lying. He said they're all lying. I don't know. What was it going to take for that to stick? I don't know.
Well, yeah. And I think if we look at Cuomo, if we were able, you know, to separate that Cuomo situation from everything else, and we look at the lies, the cover up with the COVID deaths against medical professionals' advice, and now this, I think Andrew Cuomo won his Emmy for best actor in a leading role because he played all of us. It seems.
You know, and I can't separate it from, I can't. When I heard about women coming forward, I thought of President Trump. I immediately thought of President Trump. And I thought of every other, you know, CEO, every other elected official, every other man in power. I can't separate the two because we are seeing again a man not taking responsibility, if it's true. So I really can't separate them at all. It is just like Eric Greitens. It is just like Donald Trump for me.
Well, speaking of Eric Greitens, he was on the air this morning with our sister station down the hall, and I believe he is more openly saying he's mulling a Senate run. So we'll see.
Yeah. Mm. And I will say I agree with the principle. It's difficult to separate. I'm wondering, I'm assuming for legal reasons, what happens in office and out of office before office matters legally. I'm guessing.
Well, there is you certainly can't file charges in certain crimes after a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. But these things still speak to character and ability to lead for many people.
Well, we need to take a break. We'll be back with round three of OT. It's Carol, Amy, and Debbie on The Voice of St. Louis.
In case you'd like to hear more.
There's more.
This is Overtime on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
It's 8:51, and I have to be honest, whenever this bumper music comes on, I just expect Michael Kelly to come strolling through the door. It's our official Michael Kelly music here on KMOX. Amy Marks Chorus, Carol Daniel is in today and tomorrow for Charlie Brennan, and I'm Debbie Monterey. We kind of touched on this in the first segment, but I guess this is a real thing, so it's not just me. Mm-hmm. According to the Washington Post, there is now backlash against people taking selfies while they're getting vaccinated. That getting their COVID shots, because I did admit to feeling a little pang of jealousy when Carol said, I'm getting my shot this week. And because I love her, I was not going to be mean, but like there was that little,
be
that
honest.
Little pang, like, hey,
why not me?
Why not me? So why the hate, do you think, Amy?
I love how Debbie explains it and then throws the question. Well, Debbie, why don't you sit down on this couch? We can talk about it.
Talk me through it, Amy.
I'll talk you through it. Yes. Well, first of all, first and foremost, hate and social media go hand in hand. You can't separate them. It's a cesspool.
Jealousy for sure. Yeah.
Yes. And you could show a picture of a puppy and would get in trouble going, with all of this serious things in the world, how dare you show a picture of a puppy? So you will get hated for anything. And I guess it is just jealousy that people are saying somehow you're showing how you have, gosh, some kind of status or you know, whatever it may be, depending on who the person is who is jealous and why that person is jealous. And it's just silly. It's just silly for everybody to hate on the vaccination. If you don't want to post a selfie, don't post a selfie. But we should all be glad that people in general are getting vaccinated.
Hate, jealousy, envy. I think that's a song. but I do understand it, you guys, to the extent that I will tell you that I had a thought, do I even tell anybody that I'm getting it, much less take a selfie? Because a part of me wondered, are people going to question, well, why you?
Right.
You know? And I've gotten that in my life over various things. And so I did feel a certain way about it, you know, getting it and knowing other people want it. And that's the deal here. It's like you've got the hot wife, the hot husband, you've got the great house, the nice car, and people want that. And so they come for you because they don't have it and they want it. And well, I do understand that.
It's like the woman, Carol, that you interviewed last week who had been trying so hard to get her grandparents vaccinated.
Right.
And that she said she ugly cried at work when she found out that her grandparents were getting it. And I think that's
so
a
relieved.
Lot of it. Because people are
fear.
Trying so hard and going through so many hoops trying to get it that when somebody else gets it, they're like, hey, that's not fair. All right. Are you ready for a vacation, ladies? Are you ready to go somewhere?
So ready to go somewhere.
All right. Well, St. Louisan Arnold Donald, the CEO of Carnival Corporation, is hoping you feel like cruising. He says there is a ton of pent-up demand for cruises and that hopefully everyone will forget all those people stuck on the cruise ships last March who couldn't get off when this whole thing began. But he says the fleet will be in action by the end of the year. Now, he admits he's being a bit optimistic, but he says multiple COVID vaccines, low-cost testing, better treatment is going to help cruises to resume. Maybe not all destinations at once, given all the different regulations and local conditions. But he thinks after a year of people being stuck at home, people are ready to start cruising. Are you ready to start cruising, Carol?
I'm ready, but I don't think my husband would go with me. He's a germaphobe. I mean, I don't think he would step on a boat until 2024. I'm ready, though. And maybe I'm a little just risky. I don't know, but I love a good cruise.
Amy?
I went on a cruise like 20 years ago, and it was so fun. I was a teenager, so I was with my family. But I was over cruises even before COVID. Do you remember there was a spate of like norovirus, intestinal viruses that were hitting all the cruise ships? So Carol, I think I'm, no pun intended, like on the same cruise ship as your husband when it comes to not wanting to be on a cruise. But I would say, even if I weren't a germaphobe, I don't think I'd be ready. I think I would still have to wait a little bit longer.
The end of the year? The end of the year when we've reached herd immunity, which every time I say that, I think I'm a member of a herd. Even if we've reached herd immunity.
Yeah. I mean, I would be happy for you. I would be happy for everyone.
You'd be happy for me going on a cruise, but not happy for me getting the vaccine.
Let's just say when you posted your cruise selfie, I wouldn't have jealousy, but I would be happy for you.
I have to say, speaking of the norovirus, though, if you've taken a cruise in the last 5-10 years, everywhere you go, they're spraying you down. And this was before Corona. I mean, you go into the dining room, they've got people spraying your hands down. You leave the boat, you come on the boat. I mean, it was like hardcore germ attack before COVID ever
hit.
So I don't know how much can possibly change in that.
And you can take a smaller cruise, not the one with 3,000 people on the boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to take a river cruise later this year.
Like me too. A kayak.
Alone. Amy alone in her kayak. Here is What's on Tap. It's sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Amy.
That's right. Carol Daniel will be filling in for
Charlie Daniels Band.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. I'm ready.
That's all you need to know, folks.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.